Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano and Momo with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests, like Ryan Russillo, appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Thanks to Ryan for stopping by there. We went over the break a little bit, so we apologize. But we got a number of things to get into. But we want to discuss where the NBA is right now with Momo. But we have Number Mania going on today. And Number Mania number 23, Bergman has some real issues with number 23.
It's not issues. It's like there's. By the way, the results are final. It's all done. Number 23 was between LeBron James, Dustin Brown, and Kirk Gibson. And the way that we kind of did it was very much it's what you've done here as a Laker or Dodger or King or whatever. Your LA time. And LeBron James won, which fine. He was one of the best players of all time, which we've been talking about all day. But Kirk Gibson had one of the biggest moments in LA sports history, and he's the MVP that year.
Yeah.
So I lean towards him. And Dustin Brown, by the way, won two championships with the Los Angeles Kings as the captain.
Yeah, hockey.
I don't know. I mean, I think, okay, look, it's not just the greatest player who wore that number. It's
right.
The greatest player in his time in LA.
Correct.
Right.
So, okay. I actually think there's a, like, I'm going to, oh, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I mean, Dustin Brown was really good for the Kings. They won, how many titles did they win? Two, right?
Two.
When he was there?
He's so the captain. He's still there, by the way.
Yeah, he's the captain. Like, they, the Kings coming back and winning the Stanley Cup was, like, a giant story when he did it. And I think we're, like, discounting that. Kirk Gibson had probably the most iconic, one of the most iconic, I'll say the most iconic home run in LA history. One of the most iconic in all of baseball history, and got the Dodgers their only World Series title since 1988, still is, right? So I think those, like, LeBron, as great as he is, and I would say LeBron's greater as a player, but his time in LA has not been great yet. He hasn't won yet.
It's an incomplete at the moment.
It's incomplete so far.
Yeah.
So I think you got to go. I would go Gibson 1, Dustin Brown 2, LeBron 3 there, just based solely on time in LA. And like, LeBron, if they win this year or next year, then he'll pass him.
I think the fans have done a really good job with this Number Mania, because every day we're unleashing two numbers. Well, today was 3, but clearly Kobe was going to get 24. We weren't debating that.
Don't put anybody up against Kobe. Don't do that.
Yeah. and then, but it would have been interesting, because that, I am a firm believer that there's no 100% vote on anything. But I would hope that that would be the one. But anyway, you're right. LeBron is an incomplete. Kirk Gibson is who I voted for. I think the fans got this one wrong. Kirk Gibson should have won this.
Yeah, Kirk should have won.
I agree. And now number 25 is up, and it's between Gail Goodrich, Tommy John, and Jim Abbott.
Interesting. I'll go Gail Goodrich, Jim Abbott, and then Tommy John.
I would go the same route, but right now Tommy John is in second. Gail Goodrich is leading. Tommy John is in second, and Jim Abbott is in third.
This is showing my age and maybe my lack of knowledge, but I don't associate Tommy John as a LA guy. Like, what?
California Angels, yeah. Yeah,
okay.
It was both. Yeah,
and the Dodgers, they win. Right. Yep. Yeah, he was with both. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and, I guess I just don't see him that way. He's just famous because of the surgery.
Surgery.
Yeah, yeah. The surgery is his. He owns that.
You got the surgery. That's a big part of it from LA. So,
I mean,
you know,
literally, I don't think he came up with the idea for that surgery. I think he just had the surgery and it saved his career. Wasn't that it's Dr. Neil Elitraj, right? Is that the one who did the Tommy John surgery?
Yeah.
He does all those. Yep.
Yeah. All right. So here's the deal. Momo, what's going on with the NBA? Like, where do you think we're at? Because the NHL, our Emily Kaplan was reporting on Twitter about the NHL talking about 4 different sites for a potential restart of the season, and they will continue their regular season. So we know that last week we had you on, and we were having some fun, and you were talking about your cat on the Adam Silver conference call purring away. But, like, what do you think? What is the likelihood of this? Because we were talking about Michael Malone and his quotes about LeBron, but he also did add in that conversation he had with reporters that he thinks there's a chance that maybe the season doesn't happen, but he thinks it's likely that we finish the season.
I'm an optimist, George. I you know, and I'm not just an optimist because that's my sunny disposition. I really do. Just in every conversation I have, I think there's a real path forward for sports to return. It's just going to be really hard for everybody to get on board with what that's really going to look like and what it would take to do that. Adam Silver, I would say, has done a remarkable job of tamping down on expectations, right? And then staying disciplined in his messaging so that it doesn't put undue pressure on anyone to do something yet, right? Like, because once you start talking about a return, it's like that picks up momentum really quickly. Then you start getting ahead of yourself. Then you start putting people in positions they don't want to be in yet, and you could mess up the whole thing. But I think that they're behind the scenes. I think there is a lot of discussion and studying and getting some data and looking at how they would actually do this. And I do buy the bubble concept. I think it would probably be two sites, probably an East Coast and a West Coast. We've all heard, you know, Las Vegas, right? Orlando is another one I've heard, but it's just, these are just like ideas and thought bubbles right now. But like, so like an East Coast site and a West Coast site, something like that. But here's what it would really require. It would require people to commit to being in the bubble. And then what does that look like? Do you get a plus one in the bubble? Do you get a plus two? Or is it just you? Like, is it just the player? So that means no wife, no children, no entourage, no friends, no parents, no mm-hmm. support people, nobody. Is it like that? Or will they let players be on a bit more of an honor system to live in, let's say, like, let's say you have like a hotel and people can live in suites, like you can have your family with you and you can live, but everybody who commits to being in the bubble has to stay in one place, right? And right. You have security checks and, you know, maybe you even have monitoring going on. You have to commit to allowing people to monitor your movements. Like there's going to be some level of personal freedom that's going to be given up. I don't think players are ready for this yet. I think that there is a sense of like, it's still too dangerous to even think about this. Nobody really trusts each other yet. Like, you know, George, if somebody said, okay, George, we're going to be able to return to the NBA. It's going to be a 6-week commitment. No, maybe even 8 weeks. Let's say it's an 8-week commitment. You have to be away from your family for 8 weeks and you have to commit to just like going to and from the arena in your hotel. That's a tough one to do, right? And you don't make millions of dollars like these guys do, but that's what it would require. You also have to require, let's say they have an app that's put on your cell phone so they can track you. Maybe you'll have some monitoring that'll test your temperature and monitor you for signs of infection.
It's like Minority Report with Tom Cruise. Remember that movie?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think that's kind of what we're talking about. And that's a lot for anyone to commit to, let alone players who are used to, you know, living with their families and having a support network and having people around. And so I think that's all being studied on the safest ways to do that. But there is a very reasonable way that sports can come back. It just requires that level of, I don't want to say commitment, because that makes it like it's a bad thing if you're not willing to give all that up. It would be a lot of sacrifice, I think.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any question. And I think that when you look at it, like I mean, I'm in, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, Trudell and I talked about this the other day on the air. Like, it's part of the gig, right? Like, I'm in. Like, if that's what you need me to do, I'm in. And I've had this conversation with my wife, and I said, hey, are you okay? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, as long as you're okay, I'm okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if that means, you know, if she wasn't okay, that would be a different story. But she is okay, if I have to go for 6 to 8 weeks or whatever it is to finish out the season, then so be it. That's what I have to do.
Yeah, it might happen like that. I don't even know if they'd let us around, though, by the way. Like, I don't know if, like, if they're going to have
a bubble.
It's
very possible that's not going to happen.
Yeah, like, I don't know if we're even going to be part of the mix, right, the media, or even a limited, you know, broadcast crew. I don't know. You know, maybe there's a way to ensure that it's not so much a bubble thing, but maybe there's a way that, you know, they're obviously going to have a lot of rapid testing. They're going to have, you know, daily screenings and temperature checks and this and that. There's also a lot of companies. There's a lot of ways you can sterilize environments all the time that would be safe. The problem is like can never really be truly safe, right? In because there's a human element to this. And there is a lot about the virus that people still don't understand. So like, you know, all it would take, if let's say you restarted, all it would take is one player to get it again. And then it's like, do we pause for 2 weeks while that team quarantines? Right.
Well,
you know,
I mean, it'll be interesting because Jeff Passan was on with us a couple of weeks ago, and he says that Major League Baseball believes that they can work around that if they have enough testing, enough temperature checks, enough medical services around them, that they can just quarantine that one person and then they can kind of move forward with the rest of the team as long as they're constantly being tested since they had already been in contact with that particular person. Because, look, and the when he said that to me, I said, well, that makes some sense because, look, Serge Ibaka was banging down low in the post with Rudy Gobert, you know, right before he tested positive, and Serge did not test positive. You know what I'm saying? So it is possible, I guess, that could be the case where you, just because you're around them doesn't mean that you actually contract the virus. So everybody's
right, and it would be
different.
A little different now where, like, okay, when Rudy Gobert tested positive, you know, the entire Utah Jazz team was quarantined in the locker room for like 4 to 6 hours or something after that game until they could get all the CDC people from Oklahoma City to test them. Right. Then they all went to a hotel and it was a different hotel than they had stayed at before. They had to find a hotel that would accept them. Okay. While they waited for the results and nobody was allowed to leave or do anything. Well, now they were lucky that they got the results by morning. You know, usually that test takes, that test takes like, I think 4 hours to get the results. But because there's such a backlog of testing, it's really hard to get results that fast. Sometimes it takes 4 or 5 days just based on how busy the lab is. So I think there is a real precondition of the NBA would have to have a endless supply of testing. And you'd have to be able to, like, if anybody tested positive, you have to be able to test anyone they had come into contact with for the past, you know, 14 days. So that's a whole nother round of testing. And then, you know, if you get the result, there is some rapid testing that has been approved that you can get results in like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So there are ways around this. It's just going to require a lot of sacrifice. And I think that, the league at least is waiting until the country is past its peak, or at least we're on the right side where cases are declining, deaths are declining, where it seems like things are calming down a little bit, because it's just not the right time right now to be moving forward again. But George, I'm an optimist. If I had to say right now, I think that by June, we're talking about, like, okay, can we do a training camp? And by July, I think we can maybe even have games. That's what I'm hoping. That's what I think is possible. But there is obviously a lot of unknowns based on just, you know, what's going to happen in the world next.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way that you do. So very well said, obviously. But coming up next, we've talked about a reunion in the NFL. But is there a reunion looming in the NBA? We'll tell you about that in just a second. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Mama Momo hanging out with us. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting your business with specialized coverage for your commercial vehicles. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com, and brought to us by our friends at My Computer Career, training for a better life. Momo, there was something trending yesterday before we get to the NBA reunion. It was the number one trending thing on LA Twitter yesterday, which is five perfect movies. If you had to pick five perfect movies, what would they be? I went with, just so you know, I went with Pulp Fiction, The Dark Knight, which is the Heath Ledger one. I went with Empire Strikes Back, Kill Bill Volume 1, and then I went with Major League, but then in retrospect, I probably could have added Coming to America instead of Major League, but I feel like both comedies were just like, they nailed it. So if you had five movies, though, that only five perfect movies that you could pick, what would they be?
Oh, that's interesting. I'm not good at, like, okay, are we picking, like, actually good?
Basically, give me the five movies that you watch the most in your entire life.
Okay, well, the movie I've seen the most in my entire life is definitely The Princess Bride.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, I've seen that many, many times.
This is an easy way to do that. Just
easy, because, like, are we going, like, Academy Award movies?
No, no, no.
Or are we going,
just,
like,
this
I just
is your
like
personal,
them?
Your personal favorites.
I definitely have watched the first Godfather many, many, many times.
That's okay, like, that's a good one.
That's always on in our house. And I kind of always have to watch. I definitely, what do I always watch? Let's see. I'll kind of like watch Major League all the time.
Oh yeah. It's so good.
It's so good. I get into that. I have seen Field of Dreams and Bull Durham multiple times. Bull Durham would be my top sports movie of all time that I just always watch that. I quote from it. I learn from it. And let's think of something else. Like what's like a good rom-com that I always watch?
When Harry Met Sally?
Yeah, I've only seen that a few times. Like I actually just recently watched that because I was taking my niece to New York for the first time. So I felt like she needed to watch like a New York kind of movie. That's interesting. A good rom-com. I've watched Big, the movie Big. I've watched that probably 36 times.
Yeah.
So I'll go with Big. That's a good one. That ages well too.
Yeah, for sure. It ages well. It's still really, really, I mean, a lot of Tom Hanks movies age really well, I feel.
Yeah,
like,
they do.
General.
Yeah. You know, there's just like certain movies that when I start, oh, wait, how could I have forgotten this one, George? Legally Blonde.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. That is actually up on the list, not just of entertaining movies. That's actually a really good movie.
Yeah.
If you watch it with like a critical eye, it's not just entertaining, but also really good.
Yeah, for sure. So there's a lot of talk about the American President was on earlier before I jumped on the air, and it's just such a great movie. Like I can watch that movie all day, every day too. But yeah, there's a lot of movies that you can go, but five perfect ones. That's tough to narrow it down to five.
Yeah.
Real quick. We were talking about the Gronk Brady reunion, but there could be a reunion in the NBA. There's talk, according to the New York Daily News, about Ty Lue and Kyrie Irving. Now, here's what I think, okay? I would just say if I'm Ty Lue, I ain't hitching my wagons to Kyrie Irving, okay? Like, that didn't go so well in Cleveland the first time. And I know that Kyrie is, you know, introspective and whatnot, but that's kind of what scares me sometimes, is that sometimes he gets in his own head a little too much. And his feelings then also don't match that introspection that he had. Like, he can be a challenge to work with. And I think as talented as he is, of all the superstars in the NBA, and he's amazingly talented. So, like, if he's the second guy, I clearly have less reservations, but man, he's one of the guys as a superstar that I would have a tough time attaching myself to if I'm a coach.
Well, I remember that Jackie McMullen story that she wrote about Kyrie Irving, where she had this incredible little anecdote and detail about, you know, he tried to talk to Kyrie and Kyrie had totally tuned him out, right? Do you remember this detail in her story? And he brought it up again, and Kyrie still kind of, you know, didn't acknowledge that. But I'll tell you this. I think Ty would coach Kyrie again. I do. I think Ty is not afraid of challenges like that. I think, you know, while I'm sure it was frustrating for him all those years, like Ty, just knowing him, Ty's not afraid of anybody. Like Ty is not that kind of a fearful guy or who would steer clear of problematic or difficult situations. Like Ty's got that attitude and competitiveness. And I just don't see him as a fit there, mostly because it's a question of, like, you know, Ty's not a Spurs guy, right? Sean Marks, the GM, there's a Spurs guy. Like,
right.
You know, I'm wondering who's really going to be leading this hire. Is this going to be Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are going to say, this is who we want and make it happen? Or is this going to be the owner jumping in here, Joseph Tsai? Is he going to listen to his players? Is he going to listen to his GM? Like, what are the prerequisites here? This can be a fascinating coaching search to play out because it'll show us a lot about who's calling the shots there.
So I agree wholeheartedly, but if I had to guess, a newbie owner like Joseph Tsai is probably going to side with the guys that signed with his organization who historically, outside of a run with Jason Kidd and Richard Jefferson and Kenyon Martin, have not had an illustrious career from a franchise perspective, right? Like, their franchise has been okay for the most part, but clearly second fiddle, maybe worse even than the Clippers are here in LA. So if I had to guess, Joseph Tsai is going to listen to KD mostly on this thing.
I agree with you. And I think he already has so far shown that connection and ability to, you know, to empower his stars, right? Like, there's been a lot of decisions and things that have been done in Brooklyn since those guys came aboard that, you know, that's just straight up ownership discussions. And that's kind of how it's done now, right? At the highest levels, like, yeah, the GM is important to a certain extent, but it's really just player to owner. It's really like, and I think you could even say that when LeBron came to the Lakers, like, that was the big draw for, not the big draw, but one of the big draws for LeBron was this understanding that the Buss family has been one of the most successful ownership families at just dealing with and catering to the biggest stars in the game and treating them the right way. I think, you know, that's that was a major calling card for Jeannie yeah. Buss and the Lakers when LeBron was looking around for where he was going to go next.
Coming up next, Todd Gurley, is the revenge tour coming? One prominent Ooh. Star in the NFL and former Ram seems to think so. We'll talk about that in just a second. Stick around. We're back in 4 minutes. Sedano, Momo, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. Mama Momo's in the house. So Mama Momo.
Yeah. That's like my full name now. It yeah. used to be Momo. Now it's Mama Momo. I like that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, we're going with this on brand.
So Todd Gurley, clearly, we talked a lot about Todd Gurley over the last couple of years here on the station. And Laura, I think you may have the sound of Dante Fowler Jr., who was also a Ram, now with the Falcons, also in Atlanta with Todd Gurley. And he thinks a revenge tour is coming. He was on First Take. Here's what Fowler said about Gurley.
He is an elite running back. He's one of the best running backs in the league. A touchdown scoring machine. I mean, that's what you need at the end of the day. As long as you put points on the board, you get him in the right situations to put points on the board. And when Todd Gurley feels like Todd Gurley, I mean, he's the, like you say, he's the best, one of the best players in the league.
So, look. Todd Gurley was one of the best players in the league. He finished second in the MVP.
Yeah.
Todd Gurley was an elite player. And look, maybe he can prove us all wrong here or there, but look, those injuries just don't go away, I don't think. You know, maybe in spurts he can still be that guy, but not consistently. Because if that were the case, the Rams wouldn't have cut him.
Yeah, they wouldn't. And I think they tried for a year and a half. And,
yeah.
you know, I to me, it's, some people do need a change of scenery in order to get motivated again. Some people do need to feel their sort of sporting mortality in order to like light a fire under them and really fight for what their career and their job is. It'll be interesting. Like I think of Todd Gurley in a lot of the ways I think of Yasiel Puig, right? Because they're both Laker fans and they show up. I see them at more Laker games and than I did at anywhere else, right? Like they were like the two guys who were always there. I think they were in LA and they enjoyed the scene a lot when they were here. It'll be interesting, to see what happens with Gurley when he's not here and he's not kind of going out and doing the LA thing. If that gets you back to the grind, it helped Puig a little bit, but he's still unsigned, so that tells you something, you know. Sometimes the issues that you had in one place are not just the issues of the place. Sometimes it just has to come from within, and I felt like that with Todd for the last year and a half. It's not just physical. It's whether or not he's going to do what needs to be done. And can it come from within, right? Does he have that motivation to really just turn things around?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm clearly he's going to have the motivation. I just don't know if he has the skill set, right? And to me, that's kind of the bigger issue here, more so than anything else. Like, you got to have the skill set. And it just, look, that position... I wanted to give them credit at the time, right, for taking care of their guys, the Rams. But I was also cautiously optimistic because, you know, Kirk and I had talked about this on the radio show a bunch at the time, which is like, yo, they knew about his knees coming out of college, right? So you are taking a real risk here. And that's not even mentioning the fact that running back is the most interchangeable position in the entire sport, right? Like, they just, it's the reality of that particular sport, kind of like the NBA with centers now, right? Where you're just not going to pay that position a premium anymore. And that's where they're at. And the Rams made that mistake and they're paying for it this year. They're trying to get out of cap hell because they made some mistakes trying to take care of players and that. And I get it. They did it to get to a Super Bowl. They didn't win. So I get that. And I think that it probably is the right move if I had to do it all over again if I were them. But man, it puts them in a very compromising position. And I think it puts a lot of pressure on Sean and the staff this year and Jared Goff.
Yeah. I mean, it's when, you know, you've heard a lot of the Bill Barnwell types and also and Mina Kimes, like those guys who really understand the NFL salary cap, talk about the mistakes of how the Rams set up all of those deals, right? There was a way they could have threaded the needle on all of them where you paid everybody, you kept everybody happy, but you also protected your future. And they've just left themselves with no margin for error. Like those guys that they have paid, Jared Goff, those guys, they're just going to have to play. They're going to have to perform, or the Rams are going to have a bad year. Like, that's it. There's just no room for error. And I think with like Gurley, like he was at the top of his game. He was the best running back in the NFL. He should have been much higher in the MVP conversation, I think. Like, you know, there was that real debate about whether he was the MVP or Goff was MVP. It was like definitely Gurley.
Yeah.
But what we've seen in the NFL is that doesn't last long as for running backs. It's like a 1 or 2 year period. And they just didn't mitigate that risk very well. They didn't structure his contract the right way. And then they didn't choreograph the exit the right way. They waited too long to do it.
Yeah, but they tried. Like you said, it's kind of like when you know you're in a bad marriage and you're still trying to make it work for the kids. And it felt like that's kind of their situation. That's where they were at that particular point. All right, coming up next, Michael Malone, the Denver Nuggets, said the thing about LeBron and Michael. He said that thing. We'll tell you what that thing is in a second. Plus, could the Raiders be going QB? And Tua is dropping. Are the Dolphins and Chargers in cahoots? There's some talk about that. All of that stuff coming up in the final segment. Mama Momo hanging out. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. The great part about being at home is you can hear your screaming 18-month-old, which is always fun. Just in the background, randomly. No, not crying, just screaming. You know, just whatever. Just letting you know you're there.
Yep, just screaming. I go for walks around the neighborhood, and he just screams all the time. Yeah. And I try, you know, I go through many, many, many renditions of Wheels on the Bus. I mean, we get all the way down to the accountants on the bus. They're staying in Texas. We get to, like, you know, every ding animal. Like, I mean, it's like a Noah's Ark bus, you know? I mean, it's like every animal I can think of. And then we just repeat it. And he's still screaming.
You're like,
I wonder if my neighbors are like, oh, here's that mom coming by. What's going on? What's she doing to her kid?
Yeah. But it is wild, though, because you asked me during the break if my daughter Aria was like that. And I said, no, not at all. Like, she was and she's still a great kid. Like, she's such a rule follower. But even as a baby, she was, for the most part, fairly easy to deal with.
Yeah. I think this might be a boy thing, George. Do you think it's a boy thing?
Oh, no, it's clearly a boy thing. There's no question about that.
Yeah. There's just all these emotions and they don't know what to do with it. So they scream.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's just like one of those things where it's like when you say no, then it's like, it's like that's a bad word now. No is not a good word in this house at the moment. But
I mean, I had the morning shift, so I got up with him this morning. I mean, he's like a wildebeest right now. Like, I couldn't even get, like, Nevin came in the room at one point and I said, I haven't even got his pants on. Like, I can't even. I did change a diaper, but like, he won't even let me put his pants on. It's just like a like a wild animal right now. Yeah, it's
just insane. By the way, if you missed any one of our interviews today, our buddy Ryan Russillo joined us. Check out the entire interview on demand section on the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checking account or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, N.A., member FDIC. And of course, tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Chicago Bulls dynasty. A series continues this Sunday at 6 p.m. on ESPN television. And of course, listen to the wrap-up show with Sliwa and myself immediately following the broadcast on the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter account, presented by State Farm, AT&T, Cincoro Tequila, and Coors Light. So, Momo, there are so many things going on here. Like, this is, and we get some of this in the NBA, but the NFL draft is a different, like, beast when it comes to smoke screens. So, like, everyone now all of a sudden wants to create juice with the trade up or the trade down scenario, right? So, a week or so ago, we were hearing Lions open for business. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was at number 3, and then it's Giants open for business. And then Adam Schefter, who's really the only person I trust outside of Mort when it comes to reporting football stuff. I mean, at least, you know, without any equivocal, you know, equivocally, I trust him implicitly. He says, no one's biting on three or four. Like, you know, move along, right? So yeah. All of a sudden, people are trying to drum up interest, whether it's, and I'm not trying to throw shade at him, whether it's, you know, Ian Rappaport or Michael Lombardi or any of these guys, like trading up is a real thing and it's not for Tua, the Dolphins or Chargers. And I'm like, no, that's not possible. Like, there's no way you are going to have that many losses in a season and then trade up for an offensive tackle when there's like five great offensive tackles in this draft. Okay. Like that just seems like something a really stupid organization would do. And I would think that NFL teams are just smarter than that. Do you recall there being so much subterfuge during the NBA draft?
Not really. Yeah. I mean, there was the year that a couple of years ago, I think there was a lot of discussion about who was going to be brave enough to take Luka Doncic. You remember that?
Yeah.
I think everybody knew DeAndre was going one, and then there was a lot of question about Luka because, you know, foreign player, young, you know, does his game translate? And there was a lot of, like, misdirection going around because you knew there was going to – somebody – like, nobody was quite sure if Sacramento – were they really going to pass on Luka Doncic, right? Like, I mean – gosh, like that looks like a mistake now, right? Mm-hmm. But they did. They drafted Marvin Bagley III. And then it was like, what team was going to move up to go to trade for Luka at three, right? And there was a lot of that, but nothing like this, you know, nothing like the NFL draft. And I think it's almost more this year, George, because one, we're all sitting around, you know, with nothing else to do. So it's like ever hanging on every rumor or every, you know, everybody's following it. But I also think the teams have less information and less direct contact with the players than ever before. So I think there's probably a lot of indecision that's going around. You haven't most of the time you get to meet with guys in person, you get your medical team really gets to take a look at them, especially when you have high draft picks. Like Tua to me is a fascinating story just because so much of this is just going to have to be done based on faith. Like, you saw him play, you've seen the medicals, you could talk to Nick Saban, but you haven't really got to look at him up close in person for as long as you want to look at him if you're a team drafting in that spot.
Well, and Nick Saban went on the tour yesterday saying that if you pass on Tua, it's going to be like when he was the coach of the Dolphins and passed on Drew Brees because of medicals. And he took Dante Culpepper. And had he taken Drew Brees, he might still be the coach of the Dolphins and not at Alabama right now, which is one of his biggest regrets, is that he couldn't make it work in the NFL. So that's interesting. And Adam Schefter also reported that the Dolphins and Chargers might be in cahoots and be like, nah, man, what are you going to do? Do you like Tua and Herbert? Yeah, we like Tua and Herbert. We do too. So you know what? We'll figure out which quarterback we want to take and then you can take the other one. We're not trading assets to go up. Now, I don't believe there's legalities to that. maybe there are. I don't know. But right now, I feel like everyone, this is the wild, wild west right now. Yeah. We're doing the damn thing on Zoom, for God's sake. Yeah. Okay.
Do you know who actually this reminds me the most of now that you're talking about this? Do you remember when Joel Embiid was coming out of Kansas?
Yes.
And he was this, like, you saw enough in what little he had played to go, whoa, this guy's amazing. And then you saw some workout videos and it was like, ooh, this guy looks like the real deal. But during one of those workouts, he got hurt and he broke his foot in a way that it was like he was probably going to miss the whole year. So you were going to draft him just basically knowing, like, you won't have the answer to the question of whether you just drafted one of the biggest busts of all time for, like, a year and a half.
Right.
And you had to have an executive who had, like, the bandwidth to do that, you know, like, the runway to do that, the ability to do that, and also who had just a gigantic just courage to do that, okay? And it was Sam Hinkie, right? Yeah. But I'll tell you this. I remember talking to the Lakers back then. They had the 7th pick in the draft, and there was if Embiid was anywhere near them, they were taking him. There was no hesitation. He was that good of a prospect. They were that excited about him, but he never obviously got there because the Sixers took him before it got closer.
Right.
To him.
As far as Tua, though, I said this last week. Yep. If the Dolphins, for some inexplicable reason, pass on them, or pass on him, which, by the way, I may turn in my Dolphin card after that. Yeah, like, I may be done with them. I mean, look, Sean McVay and I, we flirt all the time. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, me and Sean, we're good. Like, I could just jump on the Rams bandwagon very easily.
Look, you're
okay?
talking to the Raider fan who, you know, I stayed on the bandwagon after the Khalil Mack trade. I did, but it was hard. It was really hard.
Yeah. So, but it's even more inexplicable to me, and I said this last week, if the Chargers pass on Tua.
Oh.
Like, if he's there, because you need juice in this town. I made the comment that, look, clearly you know about the sports landscape. LeBron, Kawhi, right? The Dodgers are awesome. Dude, a couple of years ago, I went to the Pasadena Playhouse to watch Al Pacino, who's an Oscar Award winner, play Tennessee Williams. That's what you're competing against here with. So, like, if you're the Chargers, you need someone on the marquee.
Hey, I'm going to interrupt you guys just for a second here. Sorry. Ken Rosenthal is breaking news that the Red Sox penalty is out.
Okay.
They have lost their 2020 second round pick, ban of replay operator JT Watkins through the 2020 playoffs and from doing the same job in 21, ban of Alex Cora through the 20 playoffs, but only for conduct with the Astros.
Okay.
So Mookie Betts okay?
As according to this,
that's really all I care about. Yeah,
right.
You're funny.
There's more to the story, but we can probably get to it more tomorrow.
Okay, so we'll definitely do that tomorrow. So Ken Rosenthal will not join us on radio because he doesn't do a lot of radio interviews. So you should probably just line up other baseball people, Greg, for tomorrow. And I know that I think Kirk is going to be joining us tomorrow to talk draft too, but because he's going to be on the Sliwa show tomorrow night during the draft, during the actual draft. So,
you know, I would just venture to guess, is the Sliwa show taking off? This feels like the time when people are just home at night and need to listen to Sliwa After Dark.
Yeah, Sliwa at Sunset is actually what Mason is calling it right now.
Sliwa at Sunset. Sliwa After Dark. Like, I don't know why we're mixing the messaging. It's Sliwa After Dark is so perfect because you can't just say Sliwa After Dark. You have to say, this is Sliwa After Dark. You have to say it just like that. I mean, that's a must listen. Right? Come on.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you know what? You're right. Mace, you got to be a better marketer for Sliwa After Dark. You can't be
after
mixing
sunset.
Your messages. Right.
Are
because
you just thrown off by daylight savings time? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah. You can't do that. You got to stick to a message, right? There's got to be one voice, Momo, right? Is that what every GM in every sport we've ever covered says? One voice.
That's right. Everybody get on board. It's Sliwa After Dark. it's Sliwa After Dark.
Would you want the Raiders to take a quarterback, Raider fan? Because we only have 30 seconds.
I'm going to say yes, because why not? Yeah, do it. I mean, I'm not saying anything wrong with Derek Carr or anything, but just, you know, I think there's a bunch of good quarterbacks. I don't think they need to take him in the first round, though. I think there's some really interesting guys that they can get in 2, 3, and 4.
All right, fair enough. Momo, thank you as always. Always great to chat with you.
Yeah, thanks, Georgie.
Thank you for hanging out with us today. Thanks to Greg. Thanks to Laura. Thanks to Ryan Russillo for joining us. Thanks to you guys for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. Have a great day.